Something in America is on the decline. As you can see from the graphic, the decline is significant. The decline is resulting in deaths as many as 10,000 a year in the last 7 days, in the last week. It's estimated that 100 of the items under consideration have died. You might think, well, what is that? Surely not the population. No, it's not the population. Our next slide gives us a clue as far as what's declining and dying. Religion in America is on the decline as a whole. And it's serious. This is something that the news has talked about over the last couple of years. There was another major news story just a few days ago. When you start looking at what's taking place with a lot of religious groups in America, it's not only closure as far as some religious groups. You find that those groups that are not closing, a lot of them are on what is being called life support. They're barely getting by from week to week. When you look at America, you find that about 70% of our population in this country claims to be Christian. But what people claim and what they do are not always the same. You may have heard about the nuns. The nuns, of course, are a growing trend in society. The nuns are people who say that we don't have any religion. We have no religion. Current estimates say that 25% of the people in our country are nuns. N-O-N-E. That's shocking. That's amazing. Almost a fourth of our country. The issue's real. And as time progresses, there's every indication to believe that it's going to get worse and worse. We've been studying, if you've been here, we're introducing the Christian armor. That was part of the reason for the reading from Jeremiah chapter 46. Before Paul gets to the Christian armor in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through about 16, he offers some preliminary information. For example, in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, Paul said, "Be strong in the Lord." We've already looked at that information. And since we've looked at that, we want to look at this from a slightly different perspective today. Moving now to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, Paul says, "I want you as a Christian to put on the armor of God." And not just the armor of God, I want you to put on the whole armor of God. Armor is an important topic, not only in the Bible, but also in the world. If you go back and you look at people in ancient times, and this goes back well before the first century, you find that the weaponry used by soldiers, it consisted of arrows, and oftentimes they used swords and battle axes. If you were going to go out and fight against someone in a military context, those were probably the implements that you had to deal with. As you think about somebody coming after you with a battle axe, or somebody shooting an arrow at you, or someone taking a sword, a lot of the armament that these people had way back when was not good. They would go out with a helmet, and they would go out with perhaps a shield, and oftentimes that was it. You do have a reference to armor or a coat of mail in Jeremiah chapter 46 and verse 4. Sometimes people had that, but oftentimes it was just something to cover the head and something to put out in front of them, and that obviously was not very helpful compared to covering all the parts. People were very vulnerable when it came to hand-to-hand combat. We now live in a time, as I noted, where religion, for the most part, is on decline. And it's essential. It's always been important. But now it's especially important to have that Christian armor. When you think about the religious groups as a whole, that's one thing. If we're looking about the religious world and we find denominationalism and we say, well, there's some noticeable declines there, that's one thing. But what about when the New Testament church is studied? What happens when we take the microscope and we refine it a little bit and start looking at congregations of the Lord's church? What do we find? Would you believe that in the last 20 or so years, there have been about 1,200 congregations of the Lord's church which have closed? Did you know that? 1,200 congregations in this country in the last 20 or so years that have literally shut their doors. They've closed up. And it's not just in the denominational realm. It's not just in the Lord's church. But we're also seeing this with some of the schools associated with the Lord's church. They've seen some huge changes. Back in 2017, about a year ago, some information was released about schools associated with the Lord's church. Once again, going back to the last two decades, over a period of about the last 20 years, our schools, liberal, conservative, everything in between, they've seen a decline by about 50%. Now somebody says, well, no, wait a minute. Our schools, the population, the student enrollment at those schools, it's about the same that it's always been. And that's true, sometimes even up a little bit. The decline by 50% is not in the number of students. The decline is 50% of students associated with members of the church. Our universities, which used to be filled with members of the church, their children going there, are now having a lot of times secular students show up on the campuses. About 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote the Roman letter. And in that letter, he told those Christians, he says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. In the first century, Paul said that time was not on the side of God's people. He said things are not all that great. As we look at our day and time, about 2,000 years later, this is still true. The Christians who received that Roman letter were told to wake up, and they were also told to buckle up. Paul said to these Christians, you need to look at your life. And if you have some works of darkness, if there are some things in your life that you've been holding on to when it comes to the old ways of sin, if there are some things that you've gone back to, Paul said, you need to wake up. Pay attention. And you need to ensure that you separate yourself from those things. You need to cast those things off. The old ways that should have gone, they really need to go. You as a Christian need to make sure that you conform your life to God's will every single day. It's not going to be very long before a new year arrives. And since we're now in the final month of this year, I suspect that there are some people who have started to make some New Year's resolutions. Maybe as you think about your New Year resolution, you are thinking, I'm going to eat less. Or maybe you've looked at your expenditures this year and you think, for 2019, I'm going to spend less. Or maybe you've looked at how you use your time and you're thinking, in the coming year, I'm going to waste less time. Or maybe you've decided that you're going to do more. You think, I want to exercise more in the new year. I want to share more. I want to do more. You may have some specific goals. People sometimes have the greatest of intentions. But even with those great intentions, oftentimes those good ideas, those intentions are not realized. Jesus made that especially clear in one of his teachings. You may remember the story, Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8, Matthew chapter 13. He talks about the parable of the sower. Some refer to it as the parable of the seed. And Jesus talked about how the seed was sown in various soils. Some grew for a while. Some grew for a long time. But for one reason or another, 75% of the seed, most of the people did not stick with the gospel of Christ. Paul, as he is talking to these Christians, he said it's time to break out the armor. And not only Christians do you need to break out the armor, he said you need to wear it. You need to use it every single day. It's kind of the wrong time of year for this illustration, but we would not expect a person to get a winter coat out of the closet and put it on when it is 110 degrees outside. People only get out the winter coat when they see a need. Sometimes that's true when we look at the Christian armor. There are some people who, as they think about the Christian armor, it really doesn't mean that much to them. They don't wear it because in their mind, it's not all that necessary. To them, the devil does not seem all that real. The devil in their life seems so far away. Or God seems like a senile old man and he's not really going to do anything to anybody. Or when it looks at sin, I'm not really involved in sin. I'm a pretty good person. I don't lie and drink and steal and gamble and, you know, commit adultery, all those kinds of things. I'm in pretty good shape. If we look at our life, and we've never seen much of a need for Christian armor, and that's very likely what these Christians were doing. Paul says, open your eyes, wake up. You need the armor. That's essential for every single person. It's especially needed now. Because the stats don't lie, religious interest in America is declining. 25% of the people in our culture are nuns. Religious groups are closing. Now, at this moment in time, we can look around and we can think, well, right now we seem to have it pretty good. We've got a nice place to meet. And we've got a reasonable number of people who attend. And we can have the attitude of the man in Luke chapter 12. Remember him? I've got many goods stored up for many years. I'm well set. Different context. But Jesus said to that man, thou fool. We can be just as unwise. I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not, but there's no guarantee about the future of this congregation. There's no guarantee about the future of the congregation across town or the congregation downstate. There's no guarantee for any congregation in the U.S. or any congregation in the world. Remember the seven churches of Asia, Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3? If we went to that part of the world today, you know what we'd find? Those congregations disbanded long ago. Throughout time, there's always been a danger to the church, to God's people. Here's a Bible illustration. Do you remember the church in Jerusalem? On the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, about 3,000 became Christians. And from that point on, it seemed like the church was on fire. I can't help but wonder if some of the Jewish converts thought that life was always going to be great. Look, tens of thousands of people had become Christians. Maybe they had multiple meeting places in Jerusalem. Maybe they all met at the temple. And perhaps their thinking was, it will never go south. We're going to be here, and everything is going to be great for many, many years. Do you remember what the book of Acts says? Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. They, therefore, that were scattered abroad, went about preaching the word. Persecution came, and God's people had to flee. I'm sure there were some Christians who, as they were part of that Jerusalem group, they thought everything is great. We have a sizable number of people. The assemblies are wonderful. And that Christian armor stuff, we don't really need it. Devil can't do very much here because we're so strong. We're in good shape. And then the day came when they were scattered abroad. What about those who became Christians? They had access to the armor, but they wanted to keep it in a corner. When the day came where they needed that armor, some perhaps were not able to find it. What did they do? We know sometimes when we need the armor, but there are other occasions when we never know when the armor of the gospel is going to be necessary to protect us from a deadly attack. If you live at a point in time, you're able to work outside the home, and not everybody has that opportunity, but some do. Some need to do that, obviously. You'll probably find that as you interact with people in this world, that you have some people who do some things that if you're a faithful Christian, you don't do. And one of the most common things I think that people will find is that they're going to find out there in the work world that there are people who drink. And sometimes they drink a lot. And if you become close to your workmates, you're probably going to be invited to also go out and drink with them, maybe on a Friday night, maybe on another night, maybe several nights a week. And that kind of thing is not new. In the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4, Peter said to those Christians, he said, there are some people who think that you're strange. He said, you're not doing the same kinds of things that they're doing. That would suggest to me that Peter's readers received some invitations to go out and do the same kinds of things that the world is still doing. And Peter said that people find that odd. They needed the armor. As we think about people in our day and time, especially our young people, and certainly this time of year, as well as any time of year, but now as we deal with the holiday period, you're going to find, if you haven't already, that peers are going to reach out to you. And they may reach out to you and say, we're having a party this weekend, Friday, Saturday, maybe the whole weekend, and we'd like you to come. Free beer. Other liquors going to be made available. Older Christians who have gone through that may not have much difficulty as far as saying no, fighting the temptation, but younger people can certainly face great peer pressure. And the next time somebody offers you that kind of thing or something else, it's not necessarily that temptation. As you think about perhaps the Christian life and the armor, there's a verse that I'd like you to keep in your memory. I heard this verse about 30 years ago. And it stuck in my head, not because I'd never heard the verse before, but it stuck in my head because of the translation that a Bible class teacher used. It's the Phillips translation. And it's the Phillips translation of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It's in blue. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. That's what the world wants to do. It wants you to conform. And that's what Paul says, other translations, don't let the world fashion you. But Philip said, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. That's exactly what the world wants to do. The world has been trying to squeeze people into its mold since Adam and Eve. And now, as we look at our culture, what's taking place? That squeezing has continued. And now, if religious groups are not on life support, religious groups are certainly being squeezed. Last week, I finished up a tube of toothpaste. And before I finished up that tube, I did some squeezing. In fact, I did a lot of squeezing. If you have no desire to wear the Christian armor, you're going to get squeezed. And you're going to be an easy squeeze. If you decide to wear the Christian armor from time to time, you're going to get squeezed. And chances are, you're not going to last very long. If you decide that you're going to wear the Christian armor every single day, you're going to get squeezed. But you know, it's going to be kind of like getting the last use of toothpaste. You can get it out, but you're going to have to use two hands, and you're going to have to really pry it and push it and maybe put it on the counter and maybe even step on it to get the toothpaste out of the tube. You want to be that kind of Christian where if you're going to come after me, Satan, And helpers, you're going to have to squeeze as hard as you possibly can to have any effect in my life. We cannot control being squeezed by the world, but we can control what we do, what we decide. For young people, there are many, there's a growing number of young people who grow up in Christian homes. Mom and dad teach them, bring them to Bible class, talk to them, encourage them, and they become a Christian perhaps at a tender age. And they go off to a university, maybe a Christian school, maybe a secular school. And it's, even now with our Christian schools, as I said, about 50% of the population as far as the students on some Christian college campuses are now not members of the church. And as they're in that environment, they're squeezed. They're pressured. And now perhaps being away from the local congregation, being away from perhaps siblings, being away from mom and dad, other family members, because they're squeezed and they're not wearing that Christian armor, they conform. Maybe the parties, maybe illegal drug use, maybe fornication, bad language. And then finally, because they're out on their own, at least to a certain degree, religion free. And there they go. The devil's got them. Adults may decide to cast off the Christian armor at some point for something else. A long time ago, there was a prophet by the name of Elijah. And you may remember some things about him. Elijah lived during a time where things were not going all that well. Religious groups were not closing, but as far as the number of people, there were a lot of folks who were not interested in doing what was right. Interest in true religion had substantially declined. Elijah saw what was taking place and things in his mind looked so bad, he said, God, I'm it. They've killed your prophets. And God, there's only one faithful one left, and that's me. Elijah tried to take the matter to God. After he talked about the people killing the prophets and they had taken down the altars of God, he said, they seek my life, and God gave a response to him. The response is found in Romans chapter 11 and verse 4. But what saith the answer of God unto him? What God said? God said, I have left for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. God said, yes, it's bad. Yes, there's been a decline. Yes, things are not good. But God said, I still have 7,000 who are willing to wear the armor and willing to do what's right. There may not have been many, but there were at least some. Once again, as we look at our world and we see a substantial decline in the area of religion, think also about Elijah. There may be some significant declines in religion. In fact, I sent this information to the elders earlier in the week, and then I went back and looked at it. And as you've probably seen on the slide already, hopefully you caught that information. If you do the math, if the decline continues within 75 years, there will not be a single group of religious people left in America. Not one left. Now, somebody says, well, that's assuming that no new ones are created, so the chance of that may be pretty small. But to put it in rather stark terms, to show you where we are as a nation, within 75 years. And you know, at this congregation, we've got some people who are at an age right now, who, if the world stands, will likely be here in 75 years. What will the church look like for them? It's a frightening thought. If we're the age of 20, in our teens, the age of 30, even the age of 40, can we imagine what the church will be like in 30 or 40 years if things don't change? As we look around, we can see some young people that we love, that we treasure so much, and yet they decide that they're going to pursue a path where they leave the church. We can find some fine young people, who decide for whatever reason they never want to become Christians. How sad, how tragic. They become part of the nuns. We find some congregations near and dear to us, places perhaps where we've worshipped in the past, and they decline, sometimes by half. Sometimes there's barely enough to keep the door open. And then one day, we drive by or we get word, and they've closed. Regardless of what happens, Romans 11 reminds us that God has a righteous remnant. There will always be at least a small number of people who are in a right relationship with God. One of the most comforting and at the same time one of the most frightening passages for me in the Bible is found in Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation 20 verses 7 through 9, John pictures for us what the world will be like when Jesus returns. Now Jesus had made it very clear in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36, we don't know when he's going to return. We can't predict the day, the time, the year, the season. We can't do any of that. But John did give us some information as far as what the conditions on earth will be like. And here's what he said. When the 1,000 years are finished, there's going to be the Christian era, the Christian period. And towards the end of that period, the devil will be loosed out of his prison. And shall come forth to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to the war, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Verse 9 is the key point. And they, that is, the forces of evil that have decided to oppose and oppress God's people, the devil is finally able to have great success. They went up over the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, that would be a reference to the church, and the beloved city. And fire came down out of heaven and devoured them. When you think about the word camp, that describes, that pictures a small number of people. John, and Jesus said this too, his coming is going to be like the coming of Noah. He made that prediction in Matthew chapter 24. John also affirms that point here. When Jesus comes back, most of the world will be opposed to God. The number of righteous people, the number of people in a right relationship with God will not be zero. God will always have that righteous remnant, Romans 11, but it will be small. And John, as he pictures the end of time, he's talking about that small number of people. Now, in a world with billions of people, what does small mean? Well, I guess it's subject to some interpretation that's going to be dependent on who the person is and what their view of small is. But John talks about God's people being in such a state where they're oppressed. It looks like everything is lost. It looks like everything is collapsing. And John says, at the time, when it looks like the devil is about to completely crush the Lord's church, Jesus is going to show up. All the angels in flaming fire, and time is going to end. It's going to be game over. I have no idea. When it comes to this country, how much time America has left. Maybe at some point, things will turn around and there'll be a great revival. That's always a possibility. Maybe Jesus will return in our lifetime. I do know that Paul talked about grievous or perilous times in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Times might not be perilous, but that could easily be how things are in the future. That it's tough to find some other people to worship with. If you are someone this morning who has not picked up the armor of God, the stats don't lie. For the foreseeable future, things are not going to get any easier. It's time to take that armor and say, I need to put that on. I need to wear that. And I need to use that every single day. The battle has started. And if we stay on the sidelines, we're going to get killed spiritually. The victory is there for every person who wants to be a faithful Christian. And with the decline that we see, not only with denominationalism, with religion in general, but with the Lord's church, and even in our schools, it's time to make a choice. And that choice is, Jesus is going to lead his people to victory, and I'm going to be with him, or I'm going to be on the other side. And it's that simple. If we're with Christ, that's because we have believed in him. It's because we've repented of our sins. We don't want those works of darkness, Romans 13. It's because we've confessed him. It's because we've been baptized into him. And it's because we're seeking to walk with him in the newness of life every single day. Any other choice, if we're accountable for our sins, puts us on the other side. The church is changing. In some respects, not for the better. We can either do our part to keep it strong, or we can contribute to the decline. A serious choice. A soul-searching choice. Where do we want to be? If we can help you decide what's right, to strengthen you as far as what's right, let us know how we can help, and do that now, please, as we stand and sing the selected song.